Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Deary. During the month of September, ALWC is celebrating our church anniversary with a series of guest pastors ministering during our Sunday morning services. In our final message from our church anniversary celebration, David Spencer, the senior pastor of the Church of Chicago, preaches an awesome message titled, "I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker." This powerful message from the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, will minister to your interpersonal challenges and provide you with an opportunity for introspection that will lead to new levels of personal freedom. Listen in, and I'll talk with you at the end of the broadcast.
And this was before I was even thinking about Jesus. You know what I mean? That there were times in your life that you're not even thinking about Jesus, you're just doing your own thing. And even over the years, I recall, you know, being at my mom's house and having Derry's dad on the phone and speaking with him, he would say, "You have got to meet my son because you guys are so much alike." He said, "Just the way that you speak and the way that you, it's just something about you. I'm telling you, you need to come out here." I'm like, yeah, okay. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you have a lot of relatives, but you don't necessarily, you know, want to be with those relatives. You know what I mean? So I had a policy in my relative life, and that was to, you know, basically keep my distance. Because I was, I'm one of those folks, I have a one-track mind. And anything that I start on, I like to do it and I like to complete it without anything else getting in the way. Even in my preparations for messaging for Sundays, you know, I don't like anything to interfere with that. The house could be on fire. And I want to make sure that I get done. So I felt as if, you know, your relatives sometime got in the way. But now at the ripe age of 30, I realize that family and friends are really important. So I'm so grateful that God and His sovereignty and His providence that He has allowed Derry and I to begin a relationship over the last several years. And I think it's absolutely wonderful. Amen. Again, it's such a pleasure to be here in the house of God. And I just want you to give your pastor and Tammy, your other pastor, just a round of applause for how they serve you all. And as I was taking a look at you all's church, one of the things I see that we also have in common is this aspect of being kingdom-minded. As a matter of fact, our vision statement is to proclaim the kingdom of God with an anticipation of Christ's soon return. Amen. And what this means for us is that we have a goal of making sure that people know the Word of God, making sure that they know God Himself. And we do that through various means of proclamation of His Word. But the aspect, this idea of God's kingdom and how it should go through every aspect of life, this is something that God has set forth within His Word. As a matter of fact, and this has nothing to do with my message, if you're wondering. This is all introduction, amen? I preached a six-part series earlier this year that dealt with the kingdom of God. And I'm going to share this part. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart. That as we consider about our spiritual life, we consider about God's Word, our relationship with Him, in our prayer, and so on and so forth, that the one thing that we must and we cannot forget is we have to remember our bodies. God speaks to you about your body. Don't think that you can keep shoveling in all the junk that you want, and God wants to keep using you. As I explained to our church, this has been, you know, near the beginning of the year, but I'll never forget this. You know, certain things that you say, Pastor Derry, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Certain things that I don't even know until I step up here. I have no clue until God, He just drops it right in my spirit until I step up here. But one of the things that the Lord, He laid in my heart was simply this. He says, "Do you think that you can keep on eating all those cheeseburgers and all those fries and all this other junk and keep serving me to your fullest capacity?" He simply says this, that, you know, all that junk that you eat, you might as well just go ahead and put a gun to your head. But see, you have a problem when they're shooting out there on the street, right? But when you're eating those Big Macs and all that fried chicken and all this other stuff, all of a sudden, this is fun. Not realizing it's just like putting a gun to your own head. God says that he wants to use you. He wants to use you to the fullest capacity of who you are and how he has made you and how he has gifted you. And he can't do that if you're not taking care of your body. So when we consider God's kingdom of gender, Scripture says to seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness, right? And all these other things will be added to you, right? So we love to talk about the spiritual things, and these things are important, but I want us to remember about our bodies as well. Amen. That goes for us too, Pastor Derry, Pastor Tammy. That goes for us too. We are not exempt. We must take our rest. Resting is a part of God's kingdom, his agenda. Did you realize that? You realize you've been going, you may not have enough money to take a vacation, right? I mean, to go somewhere exotic, but you can get away. You need to get away. You need to refer. I can say that now because my wife and I, we happened to be here because we just left Hawaii last week and we came directly here from Hawaii. Now, don't think that, okay, well, he got it made. Some people say, oh, look at his suit and so on and so forth, right? You know, our son works for American Airlines, so he got us there for little or nothing. Everything was paid for, little or nothing. I want you to know that the Lord, he really blessed us. Amen. You serve him, and you do all that God speaks to your life. Amen. Amen. I want to acknowledge my wife here before I continue. Dolores, would you please stand up? My first lady, just remain standing, please. I go ahead and just turn around a couple of times so I can take a look before I get going. All right. Okay, I'm good. I'm good now. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Oh, yeah, I'm good now. Yeah. I got to tell you this story. I got to tell you this story. I got to tell you how I met her. You realize that I met her in December of 1986. We've been married for 31 years. I got to tell you this story, right? And I'm also a musician. I'm a professional musician. I've been performing for over 45 years. And I totally forgot to bring my trumpet. Actually, I was going to play. I was going to perform for you guys. In ministry today as well, but I just totally forgot, and because my mind was just stuck of just getting out of town, and I left that thing there. But I want to tell you how I met my wife. I was doing a performing at her church years, 1985, as a matter of fact, in December, and as I should have been concentrating on my music, I remember this fine young lady sitting in the back, and I kept looking at her, right? And you know how you are, brothers. You do it like this. You know, do all this other stuff, right? You're doing this, trying to. She wasn't paying me any attention. And then one of my musician friends, he says, "Did you check out that young lady?" He said, "You check out that chick back there?" I'm like, "Yeah." He says, "Well, I'm going after her first." I'm like, "Okay. We'll see what happens with that, right?" But see, I was the boss. So when we finish, I said, "I need for you all to sit there." I said, because if you leave, you ain't going to get paid, right? So you just hang right there. Let me go take care of some business, and I'll be right back, right? So after the service over, I dumped my horn in my case, and I go running, and she was gone, right? She was totally gone. I'm like, oh, well, I guess it wasn't meant to be. So I go back, dragging, and then my friend said, yeah, I'm going to go see it. I said, well, she's already gone, man, so you might as well forget that, right? And so anyway, I take care of my business, and I'm going out to the car. It's Chicago. It's December. This time it's really, really cold. And then I noticed, just so happened, that she had parked either behind me or in front of me or something like that. And this damsel in distress, this was a time in Chicago, they made the locks on the car that they froze a lot. We used to put stuff in the locks to keep them from unfreeze. So she was, in distress, trying to get into her car. So big bad me. You know what I did? I went and said, "Let me help you get in your car." And I, walked up to her car, and I grabbed her key. I said, "Give me a key." Went ahead and did it. Then I looked at her, And I'm like, man, how am I going to approach her? How am I going to, you know, get my game on and so on and so forth? You know what I told her, brothers? I said, the first word out of my mouth was, look. That was the first word out of my mouth. First word out of my mouth was, look here. It's cold. I like you. I think you like me. We ain't never met. I said, so give me your number. If not, I'm out of here. And she looked at me and said, you got a lot of nerve, right? You know what she said? Okay. Well, I normally don't give out my number, but I'll call you. I said, well, here's my number. You call me. I said, I'm out of here. And I left. I left up out of there. That was in December. That was early December. And I tell you this story because I want to tell you this. By the end of December, I met her in December of 1985. By the end of December 1985, I asked her to marry me. I said, because I knew that this was the person for me. We were ready to get married literally within months. And my mother and father said, well, you know, what's going on? Is she pregnant? Or why are you in such a hurry? I'm like, what are you talking about? No, I just think this is the lady for me. But I really thank God so much for my wife and all the support these 31 years. And I just had to do this because I want you to know, let everybody know publicly how much I love this lady. And I think she's still, so stand up one more time. Amen. Turn around. I'm good. Have a seat. All right. I'm so sorry. I never do that, but I just felt as if I needed to do that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how we worship you, and we thank you so much for all the things that you have accomplished in our life already. We want to thank you, Lord God, because in our midst today, Lord God, we recognize the presence of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit's work. And Lord God, I ask you right now that you would look into our hearts and our minds, and that your Spirit would do its work in us, Lord God, to dig up all the fallow ground. Lord God, we're praying, Lord God, that anyone who has come in this place with the hardness of hearts, Lord God, that you would deal with that right now, that you would give us all, allow us to continue with hearts made of stone, but hearts made of flesh, Lord God. So, Father, there is nothing that I can do. There's nothing I can do except to be your mouthpiece. As much as I have prepared this word for them, it is also for me as well. So, Lord God, I pray that you would help our minds, our hearts, and our spirits to be as sponges, that we may absorb every single morsel that is poured out from heaven today. So we love you today, Lord God. We pray that you would anoint our minds, anoint our spirits, anoint our bodies for everything that you want to drop into place, Lord God, and help us to walk in obedience. We thank you today, Lord God, and we ask you all these things in Jesus' name, who we love to the utmost. Amen. And amen. Diseases commonly treated with this treatment include mental illness, tumors, gout, and also the whooping cough. A common treatment at one time, even for the common headache, was to take this particular treatment and to place it on the individual's neck and or head, specifically when you had a headache. They would also use this specific treatment during this time to draw blood. This is in the 19th century, if you can possibly imagine. And how even when there is an excessive amount of bleeding, they would utilize this treatment in order to help a brother or a sister out. The very thought of them may send chills up your spine, especially when you hear what I'm referring to. And I'm referring to leeches. Leeches. Those slimy, creepy, crawly bugs that we can't imagine being on us was once used as a normative part of our medical treatment. And they didn't know what to do. I said, grab me a couple of leeches to help them. The leech now happens to be the focal point of this message today. How can you better serve the Lord without absorbing the stress and pressure of the world constantly pressing in on you? Well, this word, it will inform while allowing you to stand strong. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, putting on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the method of the devil. Right? So this word will help all of us to stand when the world continues to press in on us in a way that we may not even realize in the first place. Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. This may be one of the shortest verses that I've preached on, in fact. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. Here it is. The leech has two daughters. Give and give. That's it. That's all I really want. The leech has two daughters. Give and give. Now you may be saying to yourself, you know, what in the world? How can someone construct a message based off of such short ideas? And I just don't get it. Well, we know that God's word is inspired. We know that God's word is God's word. So let's work through this, shall we? First thing I want you to see in this is that some people are just users. Some folks are just users. It says here in our passage that the leech has two suckers. The leech is a creature designed, it's specifically designed to take from animals and people. In fact, when it says that the leech has, right? Or what did the scripture say? The leech has two daughters, right? Give and give. Well, what this means is that, you know, the leech is kind of worm-like, you know, and has... It comes down and points on both the front and the back. That one of the things that you may not know is that it also has two mouths. One on the front and one on the back. Right? What in the world does... How can anything use two mouths? Well, you know if you have one mouth, that's enough so you can shovel a lot of stuff in. But anytime anything has two mouths, what that tells us is that it's going to suck to the max. So if I had to title this message for us, I would probably title it something like, I'm going to get you, sucker. So it uses these two mouths, sometimes the one mouth-like thingamajig is used so it can attach itself, so while it's sucking with the other mouth, nothing can move it. Some of these leeches, they have 34 segments. In other words, so if you end up chopping it up, it will keep on sucking. So once they have had their fill, they go back into a dark corner and remain there, check this out, for several months until all their food is gone. Seem like they disappear. But what do you think, what happens after that? They go away for months in a dark corner. And then when they need more, here they come again, creeping, stepping, sneaking. Why? Because it wasn't enough for them to get their fill the first time, but those suckers are going to come after that individual or that animal a second time. Now, you know and I know that some people are just like suckers. They're just like leeches. It seems like they only exist to take from other folks. Their goal is to constantly get without any regard for what you have or what you want to give. Their hearts are numbed to your concern. People like this, they have a high capacity for taking from you as much as they can possibly get and don't even care. Just like the leech, people on this destructive path often do their damage and disappear for a while. And then after a while, here they come. Sneaking and a stepping and a sleazing back into your life. Well, people are not just leeches. Did you know that? Your job can also be a leech. Your job can take in as much as of you as possible. And then when it is done, you feel depleted and lacking energy. What do you think happens to an animal when the leech comes and sucks all the blood? Eventually, that animal becomes weakened. The more you give on your job, the more they want. It will suck the very life out of you. Well, the leech is also an unwelcome guest. No one wants them around. As a matter of fact, raise your hand if you want a leech to show up in your life. These leeches, they are unwelcome. They're an unwelcome hijacker who waits and finds a host, then attaches itself because its existence depends upon what it can get from another. That's what it lives to do. It lives to take, take, take. That's why the scripture says the leech has two daughters, give and give. I'll explain that in 1 second as well. We've all heard the conversations about coworkers, neighbors, or even relatives who only come to get. You can always depend upon a leech to depend on you. You can always depend upon a leech to depend upon you. Some people treat you nicely until they get what they want, and then they disappear. These neighbors may come to borrow your eggs, but always seems to be out when you come knocking at their door. Co-workers need you to help them out of a jam, but always seem unable to help you when you need them to pull a file, to answer the form of the phone, or to join in a project. Oh, that beloved relative. Now, I'm not talking about your pastor now, right? Amen. But we all know who they are. Like the distant acquaintance you meet on the street, they just want to let me hold on to a couple of dollars until next week. Then we never hear from them again. And if we do, they have forgotten about the couple of dollars they were holding for us. Like the leech who returns from digesting its food, people may forget they were once satisfied by your supply of resources. Check this out. If you keep making yourself available, that leech will always come back. If you keep making yourself available, that leech in your life will always come back. In our passage, the leech has two daughters, Give and Give. I want you to note one thing, that these are commands. This is what we call, in the language, we call this the imperative. You know what the imperative is. It's like someone making a command of another person. So the command is give, or like give me, give me, give me. So someone comes, has nothing to offer, and they make a demand on you saying that they want you to give and give and give again. And remember, this is not a request. This is not a request, but this is a demand. But you know, a demand implies some type of inherent authority, as if that individual, that insect has some type of authority over you. But you need to know, brothers and sisters, that the leech has no inherent or implied authority over you. Any rights or authority they have over you is because the only reason that they have it is because you have given it to them. My wife and I, we are staying up at the military base, and one thing I realized talking with my wife last night, I said, man, they have a lot of rules up here. They got a lot of rules, right? And it is what it is. You stand there, so you have to expect all those things, right? And within the military, you know they have a military command structure, as you can possibly imagine. When they tell you to do something, you go and do it, and you do it the way that they want you to do it. And if you don't, you'll be in big trouble, as simple as that. So the leech is saying that I'm going to give you a command like I am your superior, and you are the inferior. And I want you to realize that, and I'm gonna take. I'm going to tell you to give, and you better submit to me. Give and give. What authority have you given the leech in your life? Why do you keep allowing them to act like you're superior and you are the inferior? We have, as my wife says, have it twisted in our minds, right? That you, me, all of us are supposed to be more than conquerors, right? In him that love us, right? Because we have that inherent authority in us based on our position in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So what are we doing allowing someone who is our inferior to act like an authority figure in our life? I don't know. I just can't get out of this situation. I don't know. Oh, poor me. That's because your mind, what the scripture says, Romans 12:2, has not been transformed. Know who you are in Christ. Galatians 2:12 says, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's who you are. That's who we are. Do you know who you are? All this sucking will stop as soon as you strip away their implied authority. Or it will stop when you are drained and you have nothing left. Oh, it'll stop then, because when you're lying on the floor, when you're sitting up in the hospital somewhere, that leech is going to stop then. Yeah. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with them. They were so full of energy. Well, you done sucked everything out of them. That's what's wrong with them. They will drain the life out of you. If you let them, they will drain the life out of you. They feed on the blood of animals, these leeches. They're not, listen to this, they're not capable of foraging or creating their own food. They're not, they don't understand that, you know, God may have a purpose for them and that they need to be over here doing their own thing, that they live off of you and your vision and how they can sap everything off of you. And then when they see you down, then they're happy. They're not happy until they see you with no energy. What does that saying go? Give them an inch, a leech will take 5 miles from you. Someone with leech-like characteristics, they just want you to be available for them. You know, there's some folks, and I realize this as a pastor as well, there's some folks that always have a need in their life. They're always this, they're always that. Right? As in the ministry, we see this all the time. Now, I'm not saying that there are people who have true and legitimate needs and they need help in their life. Amen? Because that is true. We have to be very discerning and we must know the difference between the two. But there are some folks, and we know as pastors, that they just want to suck everything, take all your energy out of your life. There's some folks counsel over the years, and I recall one time this specific lady who had come to the church and she wanted to have a meeting with me, and she had come in and she sat down in my office, and typically depending upon the nature of the conversation, I'll close the door, I have a window in my door, I'll close the door, and I sat down and I began to talk to her, and after about 60 seconds or so, I opened the door. I said, wait one second. I opened the door, and I went and stepped out, and I called another pastor. I said, I need for you to come and sit in here with this person, because I realized that this person is up to no good. Do you ever know that quickly when people are up to no good? If you don't know, that means you're not walking in the Spirit. Some folks you can see just walking the door. You say, okay, I need to stay away from them. Amen. You just know. You see them come this way, and you're like, well, okay, well, praise the Lord. Let me go on over here, right? Yeah. Some folks, you just need to do that. And you know who they are, because sometimes we also say to those folks, oh, God, here, what do we say? Here they come again. Oh, Jesus. You know, some folks, like I just said, they end up, getting away from that when these folks show up. So again, we must be careful how we discern, how we allow God's Spirit to work with us so that we may know. If you're not listening and if you're not walking with the Lord, you'll never know. You'll just go on naively, walking with a limp. I see Pastor Derry walking with a limp now. It looks pretty cool, I got to say. What's up, Toes, right? All right, so he walking. You know, folks, they will allow you to walk with a limp, right? And they say, oh, they're hurt. Let me leave them alone now. No, they're going to keep on sucking until you walking with both limps, right? And then they're going to say, oh, let me leave them alone. Now they got two limps going on. Are you going to be down on the floor, right? They say, let me leave them alone. No, let me keep on sucking. Let me keep on. And then you'll be laying on the floor. They'll be like, they'll kick you like, well, is he still? Well, he ain't moving now. Let me get out of here. These leeches are found everywhere, on land and in the water. Some leeches, they thrive on land animals, and others, they await their prey in the water to attack fish and other creatures. But if a leech can't find a host, then they'll go ahead. Well, let me see what else. Let me go ahead and get that old skinny bug over there. Where can a leech be found in your life? Again, we already heard that a leech can be found in our jobs. Whether you supervise them or not, these leeches, they work solely, only for a paycheck. Now, we're not talking about people who work hard, right, and get their job done, and they still want to pay. That's okay, right? God has designed us that way. God has designed us to work. But leeches on the job are people who go to work to look at TV, to go to sleep, or to get by until it's time to clock out. Recently in our county there in Chicago, this was just happened just about 3-4 weeks ago, that they discovered that there was a slew of sheriff officers over at the jail, the county jail, that basically that they would have folks clock in for them. And they would get there late. Then when they get there, they would go and they would go hide somewhere. And then they would have their friends clock out for them at the right time. And they'd go home. So they only exist only to get a paycheck. Those are leeches. And by the way, don't mind my sweat. I will sweat when it's 70 below zero. I do. I'll just be honest. Just hooting, you know. My yan runs pretty high. Right? I run pretty hot on the inside, like an old car with an old car, old radiator in it. You always run hot. That's the way I am. So if this is you, then remember that this is ungodly, and that you are stealing money from your employer. Scripture tells us that thou shalt not steal. So folks signing in for you, signing out for you, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You are robbing your employer and can't figure out, why am I not being blessed by God? Why is God's favor not on me? Because you are acting like a leech on your job. Ask yourself, am I as productive on the job as I should be? But leeches can also be found at home. I call these house leeches. Amen. House leeches are those husbands, those wives, those brothers, those sisters, those sons or daughters, and by any other name, anyone who doesn't want to do anything. They consume your resources and never want to contribute in any substantial way that will benefit you or the household. They will come out though, right? They will come out to suck on your resources. When it's dinner time, they'll come and eat. Amen. They don't want to wash any dishes, but they'll come and eat. And then they'll come out when it's time to lay on your couches or to be on your beds, play around with their smartphones, or play their video games until they have digested all of your consumables, and then look at you and wonder, how come the lights ain't on in the house? Amen. This is your loved one if they are not willing to work or go to school. They're looking for this dream opportunity to be dropped into their lap without doing one cotton-picking thing, as my mother used to say. But that leech can also be your husband and wife, like I said before, because they don't want to put anything into the relationship to make it grow. And they're nothing but dead weight. No, I'm not saying you better listen to me. I'm not saying, so I need to go ahead and leave that, you know. No, I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. You need to figure out a way how to get that man or that woman to do what they're supposed to do in the Lord. But all I'm saying is this spouse can sometimes act like a leech, and all they do is pull and pull, and they feel like dead weight, and you're trying to figure out, what shall I do? How do I solve this thing? You know, some of you, your first response is, I just want to leave. That is not in your best interest. that is not in God's best interest. Now, I'm not sure about the particulars of your situation, because obviously God is speaking to someone in here right now. Right now. You need to pray, and you need to pray some more. You need to ask God to give you a revelation as to what you need to do. You need to anoint your house, the doorknobs, the television, everything up in there, you know, get some Crisco oil and dump it on top of your head. Everything that you can possibly do, you know, when you guys sleep at night, you know, put a little of that, here's some anointing oil right here, right? Put some a little of this anointing oil on your hand and just say, hey, baby, you know, they always want to fight you. This takes a, you pray, hey, baby, how you doing? I just want to touch you. Oh, Jesus, I need for you to change them. Oh, Jesus, I need for you to do something. Oh, baby, they'd be like, what's that smell? What's that smell? I don't know. Maybe it's that oil from church. It's some oil from church. I went to church today, right? So when those leeches lying around, you need to deal with that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, says Paul. If anyone will not work, neither shall he or she, by the way, right? They shall not do what? Eat. Here's another one for you. If anybody doesn't want to go to church in your house, when you leave, you make them leave too. My wife and I, we've had relatives that come stay at our house. One time we had a relative. One of my wife's nieces, your niece, right? And she come with her boyfriend. Yeah, can we stay with you all? I said, sure, you can stay with us. All right, where are we going to sleep at? I'm like, we? So I tell you what, we're going to put you in the bedroom upstairs, and we're going to let him sleep on the couch. Oh, and also, by the way, Sunday is coming up. You either have to go to church or you have to leave. Now, I'm not talking about teenagers now. These are grown folks. You got, right? How does the saying go? You don't have to go home, but you got to get up and out of here. So you ain't got to go to church. If you don't want, I want you to go to church and praise the Lord, and you probably need to get saved because you don't want to go to church in the first place. But if you don't want to go, you got to get up out of here. We leave no one in our house when we go to church. Whether you like it or not, you got to go. So again, verse 10, for even when we were with you, Paul says, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Look, if you got grown folks in your house that don't want to do anything, stop feeding them. If you got grown folks in your house that don't want to do anything, stop. Well, he's just mean. Some people in my church sometimes accuse me of being mean because I say things like that, right? Well, don't, you know, I'm trying to figure out what do I do with my son. Don't let him eat then. Wow. Well, Pastor, I don't know. So, well, what do you want me to do? That's what the Word of God says. If you're not going to listen to God, you sure ain't going to listen to me. But I don't know, because I said, okay, well, you call me when you get a straight then. I go on about my life. And you know, Pastor Derry, Pastor Tammy, I don't worry about anything else. I'm good. Amen. I'm too old for all that nonsense. 30 is just too old for all that nonsense. Come on, y'all. Y'all quit playing around. We got a long way to go now. Come on. So we dealt with the house leech, right? But there's also the church leech. They come to church, And all they say with their two suckers, gimme, 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 gimme. Well, I don't like, the worship could have been like this, and I don't like the way that they greeted me today. And when I heard the word, I had someone tell me in our church today, you were in my house and you were there. I'm serious. I'm not playing. They told me that I put their business out there. They told me. I'm like, I ain't been in your house. I haven't been on your phone. How do I know your business? That's because the Spirit of God was convicting them to the core. But you see, the church leech only wants what it wants, when it wants. And if you don't do it the way that they want it, then they try to go and suck out of another church. And I tell you, Pastor Derek, my goal is, I tell you, if you don't want to be here and under this teaching, under this preaching, bye. Why? I'm going to be very honest. I'm as free and as light as a bird. Because I ain't got nobody on my heels trying to manipulate me as a pastor. Because I need for God's word to be clear and focused. And I don't have time for all the dumb stuff. So these church leeches, they come into church or they sit and sit and sit again on a pew, not utilizing their giftings. Now, if you need to discover your ministry gifting, that is a different situation. See, the body, the church is the body of Christ, and its functionality, it depends upon every single person here and those who are not here yet. And Christ has gifted every person, everyone, with a gifting that is specific to you. Now, it may not be preaching, it may not be singing, and that's okay. It may not even be any of the ministers that you see publicly. But God, if you are in Christ, God has given you the Spirit, and you have a gift that the church has been waiting for you to step up and use within His kingdom. The question is, why aren't you using your gift? Why? The church is in the business of providing life to those that do not possess it. And the Lord does it through you and I. My wife, she has giftings that I do not have. I admit that. She's different. And without you, if you don't utilize your gifting, do you realize that you are partially responsible for the church being stunted in its growth? But how does a leech go about gaining entry into your life? Well, one of the ways that it does it is that before it begins sucking out of your life, they have a substance that comes out of its saliva, right? And it's like an anesthesia, right? And so they start spitting all over you first, right? They do. They have a substance out of saliva. They start spitting over you, right? And then when they spit, after they spit over you, then they take their mouths and they, and you don't feel a thing. Then they start sucking and sucking. Leech-like individuals, they enter your life and they cause no suspicion at all. Wow. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We need more prayer at church. But what about that neighbor that you knew there was something funny about them the first time, but you ignored it. You didn't ask God, what is it about them? And then they gain entry into your life and you're as happy, but you don't feel a thing because after they have put their manipulative saliva all over you, you don't realize that they are now draining you because you don't feel a thing. Their presence now, where it should have felt funny to you. It should have felt weird. It should have felt strange. Now it feels normative to have them there. Because their manipulative substance has gotten all over you. Why? Because we are not walking in the Spirit. In the wild, people don't expect leeches because they're hidden so well. They attach themselves on you while you're walking through the water or while you pass through a bush. See, what the leeches do, they wait for activity to happen, right? They wait for movement, and then they attach to you then, right? And then they put their saliva, and then they take their bite, right? So in other words, leeches don't want anyone who already doesn't have anything. They only want folks who are moving and grooving in the church. So if you are not doing anything for God's kingdom, a leech don't want you because you're either dead or you're acting like you're dead. Leeches don't want a dead animal. They will only come after you only if you're doing things that are substantial within God's kingdom. And man, I tell you, sometimes it's not pretty in ministry. That's why you must pray for your pastors. You must pray for the leadership of this church, because when you're moving, you're grooving all the ministry things that God has laid upon the heart of this church. The leeches, they look at you and they come and say, "That's what I want." Yeah. Oftentimes, they will come to the church and they will go straight to the leader. Amen. Why? They'll bypass many of you. I said, "They ain't doing nothing. They're not using their giftings. They're acting just like everybody out there in the world, so I could care less." So, in other words, is it a good thing to have a leech after you? In one sense, yeah, because that means that you are alive and you have abundancy in your life, and they want to grab hold of that abundancy. Amen? God has given you stewardship over the resource and the responsibility in your life. But interesting enough, the word for leech in the Aramaic is very similar to Hebrew, right? That it means something like to hang, be suspended, or cleave, or to adhere. And this word is also, listen to this, it was used to describe what's called a vampire-like demon. A vampire-like demon. Leeches are simply no good. When they attach themselves to you, they have no intentions of letting go until they are done. And you know, it's hard to think that leeches in our life could be someone that we trust. It's hard. They could be a family member, as we heard, or even someone on the job. But this is why accountability is so important in our life. Accountability in church, accountability in your family life, accountability at the workplace. So let us think of ourselves too. Maybe we are the leech. So you may be unaware of what's happening to you until it's too late. Their sneaky plan of these leeches, they catch us off guard. So when you have something good going on, they come after you. Have you ever seen a person that was involved in the messed up situation and didn't know it? It may take someone other than you to recognize that you have a leech hanging off of you. You may need someone else to say, "Hey, Sister Kwashika, Brother Lay Dry Quan, you walking around and you got something hanging off of you. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger." Why is the leech getting bigger? Because it is, I forget the size that it goes, but it's like two or three, it can come to two or three size larger than what it actually is. Because it is saturated with the blood of his host. So it may take someone else to say, "Take a look here." In 1 Corinthians 11:28, Scripture tells us to examine ourselves before we are to partake of the Lord's Supper. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Galatians 6:4 says we must examine our own work. Examine yourselves. Examine yourself. Assess yourself. If you don't see anything, ask someone else to look. Look, right? Again, I got to talk about this suit, right? I go to the store, pick out a suit, try it on. Next thing I do is I tell my wife. A lot of times I really don't care, to be honest. I ask her. I said, okay, take a look at me, right? Remember I had her stand up, turn around, take a look. Okay, everything's good. All right, I'm good to go, right? All right, I try on the suit, right? And I stand there. I said, tell me what you think. So we'll go in the store and ask our spouse, a friend, or even a stranger to ask us, how do we look? But we're never willing to ask someone in the church, how do you think my spiritual life is going? We'll ask a stranger in the store, but not a brother or sister in the church. Now, what kind of sense does that make? See, we can be in a very messed up situation. So oftentimes, not only do we examine ourselves, but we ask others within the body of Christ, what is going on? Can you see anything? Can you see any blood? Part of our fellowship with Christ is maintaining spiritual balance. But our spiritual balance can be moved off center by a groundswell of teaching which tickles our ears. I don't want to go there because, I can't always get my dance on when the preaching going on. See, if I can do this when he's preaching and I'm good, then you walk out there, then you're acting like a sinner. But then when the full word comes to you, full of veracity, full of truth, and full of power, right? You can absorb it. You can take it in. You know that that word is meant for you, and you begin to change on the inside. You can tell within your spirit that something is right. Something is just right. And you say, Lord, take care of me, while others look at the same message and don't get a thing. Oh, it's over with. I'm so glad. In fact, some of you are already looking right now trying to decide what I'm going to eat. Where are we going to eat after church? Not realizing that God may still have more for you. But for us, when do we recognize there's a problem? When we see blood. We don't realize oftentimes that there's a problem until blood is trickling off our legs, off our arms. I was working on my father's bathroom. I had to put in a new floor in my father's bathroom, and it was just a mess. I went down there, and he told me to come and grab a piece of towel and put some glue on it and put it back down. I said, let me look at this thing, right? And I looked at that floor. I said, that don't look right, right? So I just grabbed my hand, right? And all of a sudden, the towel started coming up with my hand. And then I took my finger, and I stuck it in the wood. My finger went through the wood. I said, wait a minute. This ain't right. Right? So I started working in the bathroom, and I had the reciprocating saw, right? And I got this thing, and I'm demolishing this floor. There's this thing. Then all of a sudden, it slipped off of something, and it hit my toe. I'm like, ouch. I'm okay. I'm like, boy, I said, but it did hurt a little bit, right? But I'm going on, and I'm working. And probably about 15 minutes later, I said, let me check my toe. I said, wait a minute. There's a little hole in my shoe. And I'm like, let me take my shoe off. I took my shoe off. I'm like, I got blood coming out of my toe. Then I'm like, oh, God, told my wife, man, get the alcohol. That's my solution to everything. Get the alcohol. Because if it don't hurt, it don't help, right? Get the alcohol. I start, my toe is bleeding. I'm putting alcohol, and my toe hurting now, not only from the reciprocating saw. It's still in place, by the way, Pastor Derek, right? My toe is hurting from reciprocating saw now that I realize there's blood there and it's bleeding out. I said, I may have to go to the hospital. But I didn't realize there was a problem until, I didn't realize there was a real problem until I saw blood. Sometimes we don't realize that we have a problem until we get depressed. We don't realize that things are going on. I had a friend who was once telling me that they were having a real problem. Something was going on in their life, and they were feeling really, really depressed. They don't feel like doing it. I said, man, what's wrong with you? Like, I don't know. I just, I'm just, you know, this, that, and the other. I said, so tell me what's going on. I knew him pretty well. I said, tell me what's going on in your life, right? He started telling me. Then he started telling me about this young lady he was dating. I said, let's talk about this young lady that's dating. Well, you know, she's always asking me for stuff. You know, she wants to go here. She wants to go there. Then over the weeks, my friend, he starts having heart palpitation. I said, let's talk about this. He said, yeah, my chest is not feeling right. I discern this, right? I said, you know what? I said, this girl going to give you a heart attack. I said, you need to get rid of her. He's like, no, I really love her a lot. I said, she's going to kill you. Literally. And she was sucking the life out of him. And as soon he eventually had the strength and the courage to let her go, and as soon as he let her go, literally within weeks, everything cleared up. So the purpose of this message is to maintain and deliver wholeness to believers who can serve the Lord. Again, these leeches, they don't want to let go. Those who demand more of us, they just don't want to let go. They want to keep on keeping on. And so this is the interesting thing that just really, it just cracked me up. So how can an animal have not just have one mouth, but have two mouths, right? And take those mouths, right, suck on one end and suck on the other. How can you breathe? They suck with the one or hold on with the one and they suck with the other and they start sucking. You know how they breathe? Through their skin. So in other words, they're on for dear life. They don't care. They don't care. They breathe from their skin to make sure they get the most out of you. They're only concerned about their own well-being and will not acknowledge your state of mind, your state of health, or anything, or your efforts. They don't care. So get rid of the leech in your life. Come on. Get rid of the leech in your life. But listen to this. Okay, let me go and rip this thing off, right? But the leech must be removed gently. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, if they're sucking all the blood, let me just rip it off. No, no, no. Remember the disciple when Jesus had at the parable between the tares and the wheat, and the disciple said, let's just go ahead and tear all the tares, which were the weeds, let's tear them out. Jesus said, no. You can't do it now. Why? Because when the tares and the wheats, when they originally are growing up out of the ground, they look exactly the same. And if you start pulling at that time, you end up pulling out all the good things. So there is a spiritual process in which you have to remove the leech, but you must do it gently because, again, if you tear it or you cut it in half, then all it does is bears down even more. So we must begin removing that leech through prayer. And we must pray without ceasing. Pray for our strength to be restored after having undergone such an assault. Pray for wisdom to approach the situation in the right manner. Pray also for the restoration for the other person. Amen. That they may know Jesus or be in right relationship with him. Ephesians 4:15, we must also speak the truth in love. One of our reactions is to forcefully remove all unwanted and unsightly intruders. But this is not good for our testimony. This is such a dance we have to walk sometime. But still, we must put it in process. Either pass the test of patience and prayer and speaking the truth in love, or live again to have another leech attach itself to you. In the end, we are to have to firmly speak the truth. This benefits us. It benefits them, and it benefits the church. Finally, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, Lord, all caps, that's what we call Yehovah or Yahweh or Jehovah, right? For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. So don't be afraid. Why? Because it says he will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear, and do not be afraid of them. Get rid of the leeches in your life. You should be tired of them already. Get rid of the leeches in your life. God has given you the courage. God has given you the strength. God has given you his spirit. Put on the full armor of God so the leech cannot even attach itself to you in the first place. Yeah, it's going to try. And it's going to try again and again and again. But as long as you have on the full armor of God, you will be able to stand against the assaults of the adversary. Stand up. Be strong. Be courageous. And do not be afraid. Get rid of the leeches and you will live your life with abundancy the way that God intended in the first place. Let's pray.
Praise God, and thanks for listening to this powerful and impactful message by our guest pastor, Pastor David Spencer from the Church of Chicago. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, please feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our website, you'll find more information about us, information on our church calendar and events, and other messages that may be of interest to you. Once again, that website address is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. And until then, remember, Jesus came to give you life, and that more abundantly.